I'm going to do something a little different today, and we'll see where we go. I'm going to preach to you in a way that, I don't normally do this, and so you notice I don't even have my Bible up here right now. That's how weird this is going to be. Anyway, I'm just going to dive in. Are you guys okay with me just diving in? Let's go. I'm going to bring you somewhere, and I don't know how long we're going to be here, but we're going. This is what I call a prophetic sermon, which means I'm not going to give you a bunch of points to take home. You have to draw out the points yourselves. It's different. It's for you. I'm offering it for you, and you have to draw it out yourself. I'm not going to make it. I don't have 3 points, and you just write them down in your notes. I feel like the Lord wants to speak to you through what I have to say today. And so I'm going to tell a story, as I tend to do. I remember the summer of 2008, or actually probably May of 2008, I remember going to a sports physical right before football off season was going to begin. I love playing football. I love all sports. And I went to this sports physical, and it was at Ortho Kansas. And there was a guy on the team whose dad was an orthopedic surgeon there. And so I think it was like free. I think they did it for free. The whole football team was there. We're all going through the required sports physical to be cleared to play. And we're all having fun. It was a great time. I mean, sports physicals by yourself are awkward. But when you got a whole bunch of guys with you, it's okay. You know, I don't know if you guys know what I'm talking about with that. But anyway, and so we're going through the regular sports physical stuff. And we're having fun, and I go into this room, and here's where the sermon begins. And I want you to put yourself into it, if you can. If you can, please. This is for you. I go into this to the doctor's room, and he gets out his stethoscope. And at this moment, he's going to listen to your vitals, listen to your heart, and different things like that. It's part of just the routine sports physical to clear you to play. And he looks at me and he says, "Nate, you have a heart murmur. Did you know that?" And I said, "Yeah, I've had a heart murmur ever since I was born. Listen to me. I've always been this way. Don't worry about it, doc. I've always been this way." You have to draw your own points out of this message. I've always been this way. Don't worry about that. And so I go, and the doctor says, "All right, you may have always been this way, but maybe we should take a look at your heart to see if it's okay that you've always been this way." Are you following me? There's so many of us. It's just who I am. Just who I am. I've always been this way. And that was what I said to every doctor. Me and my dad said to every doctor that we'd ever encountered. I was born 10 weeks early with a twin brother, which is pretty common. And I had a heart murmur at birth. And they said, and at the time, apparently they said, no, it's okay for him to be this way. No big deal. The doctor at this random routine sports physical says, maybe it's not okay that you've been this way. Are you guys okay receiving that? Sometimes it's the things that we don't know about ourselves that are killing us and we don't even see it. That's what's happening. Most of us know. I'm actually robbing you of the ability to figure this out yourself. I told you I wasn't going to do this. But it's the things you don't know. Oftentimes we have these lists of sins that we know we're not doing okay. And God usually laughs at that list. It's the things you don't know about you that are actually killing you. They're why, but you're like, "Well, I've always been this way. I've always been anxious. I've always been angry. I've always been depressed. I've always been this. I've always been that." No big deal. All right? Maybe it's not okay to always be the way you are. Can you receive that? All right. Maybe it's not okay. So they schedule me an echocardiogram to take some pictures of my heart. And I go in. I don't even know why, you know. I've always been this way. It's perfectly fine. And they take some pictures of my heart. And then without saying much, they say, we're gonna need to squirt some bubbles into your veins while we're taking pictures. Just to see if maybe the way you've always been is not okay. And so they squirt some bubbles into my veins. And they essentially, I'm preaching prophetically, of course, and it says, they essentially come back and they say, you know, you may have always been this way. But there is something in your heart that if we don't fix it, you will die. I know you've always been this way, but there's something in your heart that if we don't fix it, you will die. They found a hole, a large hole in my heart. And it was causing one side of my heart to be larger than it should have been. I had a disease, and they say, if we don't fix it, you might die. Any day, you might die. And I'm 15. What am I supposed to do with that? Okay? Sometimes it's what you don't know about you that will kill you. It's just under the floorboard. Often we avoid letting God take pictures of our own hearts because we're afraid that he will find something that will lead to surgery. And we don't like surgery, so we'd rather hide it. But I feel like the Lord would say, would you not rather I reveal it so that you could live? Would you not rather I reveal it so that you could live? The problem with God revealing this, I'm not going to do it. You guys take it where you want to go. So many of us, we rest on the fact we've always been the way we are. And so we don't even let God take the pictures. We don't want to know what's in there. We'd rather be ignorant. He says, but what you don't know might kill you about you, both physically and spiritually. Don't you want to live? So we continue down this track, and I'm going to kind of speed along because I'd like to go to a whole sermon and not a half sermon today. But we go through this whole track of them taking a bunch of pictures of my heart, doing different procedures to try to figure out what they're going to have to do to fix me, to heal me. And there are most people with the thing that I had called an atrial septal defect, most of the time in the modern world, you can actually fix that by patching the hole through a robotic thing. They actually go up your groin. I know it sounds kind of confusing. And they patch the hole without you having to be ripped open. But no, not me. Not me. They do a bunch of tests to try to figure out if they can go in and just patch it. Isn't that how you want God to heal you? That's what you want. We all want God to heal us with the patch. No big deal. Outpatient. Put a patch on. Keep going. But sometimes what's in you doesn't necessarily come out like that. I know we wish it would, don't we? Don't we? Just humble yourself before him. Sometimes he has to open you up to heal you. He has to. And we run from him and hide from him because we're afraid that that might be what has to happen. But he's like, don't you want to live? Don't you want to be healed? Sometimes we'd rather die in ignorance than know the truth and be set free. The truth will set you free. He will reveal it to you and in you, and it will become who you are. Sometimes it's not just a simple patch. So we keep going down this track. I wanted the patch. We didn't get the patch. They say, what's wrong with Nate's heart? We're going to have to rip him open and pull his heart out of his body and repair it. That's what we're going to have to do. And I remember at that time, I was a teenager. I was 15 years old. And I would not say I was walking closely with God by any sort of stretch. I was just a regular teenager. I know I'm the pastor's kid, but I wasn't like, I believed in God, okay, of course. I followed Jesus. But if you ask me, am I walking closely with the Lord, I would say no. I would say no. Every one of us as teenagers, did any of you walk closely with God as teens? You're better than me. My wife is the only one I know. Way better than me. And I was not walking closely with him, but I'll tell you, you can relate to this, I'm sure. When this started taking place, guess what was activated in me? My walk with the Lord. My walk with the Lord was activated now. Because now I stared my own mortality in the face. I say, oh, it's kind of go time, isn't it? And I remember with what little faith I had, I remember believing that God was going to heal me. Okay? I had never done anything like that. My dad's a healing preacher. He believed in healing. I believe in healing. I have seen people get healed in this church. Some recently have been getting healed in this church. And I say, well, why not me? Why not me? And I was believing as much as I could that I would be healed. And I remember they went to a procedure they had to go get better images of what was actually wrong with me in my heart. And they had to go up through my groin with what could have been my patch, but just to take pictures. And so they scoped me out to take intimate pictures of my heart. And I was sitting, and you're actually awake for that procedure. You're topically numbed, but you're sitting in there while they're scoping. You're awake while they're taking pictures of the inside of you. And I was sitting in that bed believing that they were not going to find a hole. I was believing it. God's going to heal me. I'm going to be a testimony of healing. I'm a little 15-year-old boy. He's going to heal me. And then the doctors will be like, we don't know. I've heard of these stories. These doctors are going to say, we expected to find a hole and we found nothing. I was believing it. We get home. They found the hole. It's as big as they thought. Can't be healed with a patch. And I remember sitting in the kitchen crying with my mom and dad. I thought he was going to heal me. I believed, right? I thought he was going to heal me. But I wasn't healed. And so we continue on. And it's surgery day. And I get wheeled back to the OR room and I say goodbye to my parents. It is true, you know, I remember my dad to the cardiologist with me in the room asking him, have you ever lost a patient? And I'm like, Dad, I'd rather not know. I'd rather not know. And I think he actually said no. But who knows? I didn't even feel like he answered the question, to be honest. It was awkward. He was just like, probably tried to brush it off. He's like, if I say yes, I'll just say no. I mean, I don't know. Anyway, are you guys with me? So I know, you know, they're going to rip my chest open, pull my heart out of my body, and they're going to fix me, and they're going to try to revive me back to life. But I'll be better. And my heart will be stronger after they do that than it was before. Okay. And so there, my mom and dad are crying, or they're getting teary-eyed. And I'm trying to lighten the mood during that time. I mean, you guys know what you're doing. Like, even me as a 15-year-old, just trying to be funny. Why am I trying to be funny? It's to hide the insecurity. It's to hide. I don't want to go there. I don't want to go there. So I just hide. Try to lighten the mood. You might not be funny, but we all have these things that we do to try to hide from the truth. And we don't want it to be known, especially when it's about ourselves. And so they wheel me back there. They give you a little shot of Valium before you go, so that's nice. You feel okay. You feel good. And you get into the operating room, and it's like as white as heaven in there. The glory of God. I'm going to meet the Lord there. I really will. It's the brightest room you'll ever imagine as they're about to heal you. But it maybe won't look the way you want it. Can you guys receive that? It might not look the way you wanted it to look, to be healed. But you'll come out of it more alive than you've ever been. And they wheel me back there. The surgery is a success. Here's where the sermon starts. I hope you've been receiving already, because there is a truth to this. There's a truth to this. It's a reality. This is how God works, played out in my own physical reality. I come out of the surgery, and for the first 2 days after open heart surgery, you are so drugged up, sedated. They have to saw your sternum open, rip open your chest cavity, and work on the heart. And then they have to glue you back together. A lot of times it's done when you're a child. It's found out when you're young. They missed mine. And I didn't get it. It was a birth defect that wasn't found. How many of you know every one of us is born with a birth defect that God must heal? Sometimes you have to walk through some things to be healed of your birth defect. Well, I've always been this way. I've always been this way. I've always had the heart murmur. What's the big deal? Anyway, let's keep going. In this past year or so, I have walked through what I call spiritual open heart surgery. It was just as costly, but the freedom was even greater. It was in this season my mom brought me back to talk to me about something that I said when I was heavily sedated under drugs and anesthesia and everything. And I figured it would be an uh-oh. I'll tell you, it wasn't, though. Just stay with me, okay? And so it was, she had kept it with her, and she never told me. Now, I remember nothing of those 2 days post-op. I remember nothing. I have no memory of it. You're so heavily sedated. Except for one thing blazed into my memory was actually Debbie Dodge. It was right here. Standing over me. Did you guys come to the hospital, Danny? It's beautiful. The only thing I remember is the face of Debbie. As they're sitting out in the wait, gosh. As they're sitting out in the waiting room for the boy that they love. For hours praying. 2 hours. And then just to come see me. I don't remember my own parents, but I remember her. And you know who my mom lovingly referred to Debbie Dodge years ago many times? Because Debbie was such a help to her whenever she had twins, Ethan and me, and they were preemies. They were in the NICU for 2-3 months, whatever it was. And then afterwards we come home and we're screaming all night and Debbie's there loving us. You know who, you need to remember this for where I'm going. My mom lovingly referred to Debbie as like God sent an angel to save me. That's what it was. Referred to her as an angel. And that's all I see. And so in this season, after I've really given my life totally to the Lord, after what I call spiritual open heart surgery, which has taken place on me, my mom reminded me of a time that had stuck with her that she had never told me about, and that's what I said when I was deep under sedation. And as a teenager, I would not have said I was walking necessarily closely with the Lord by any stretch. But here's what I said. I said, I don't know why God didn't heal me, but I still love him. If you had asked me, while I was unsedated, do you love the Lord? I think I would have said, I don't know. I certainly believe in him. But do I love him? I don't know. But then when I'm stripped of everything, stripped of everything, in the weakest point of my entire life, not even conscious in my regular brain, what comes out of my mouth. I don't know why he didn't heal me, but I still love him. I still love him. I feel like we get caught up in, oh, I believe in God. My question to you is, do you love him? Do you love him? He's so lovable. Well, why did God do this? Why did he let this happen? Why does this, blah, blah, blah? No. Your belief in God will fade quickly if you don't fall in love with him. It's the only thing that matters. Do you love him? And if you were to ask me now, Nate, do you love him? I'd say, yes, I love him. I love him more than anything in this world. I love him. I've never loved anything like I love the Lord. I love him. He's everything to me. He's everything to me. I can say now, he's the only thing I care about. He's it. I love him more than I love my wife. I love him more than I love my kids. I love him. I'll never stop loving him. Nobody can take that from me. Nobody can take your love for the Lord away from you. It's the one thing. They can kill you. They can burn you at the stake. They can crucify you. They cannot take your love for him away. You'll go to the grave with your love for him. It's the only thing that matters. And I love the Lord. Sometimes you don't know whether you love him until you walk through the fire with him. And you see him there. That's how you fall in love with the Lord. I'm going to preach. I'm going to keep going. I might go late. That's okay. I got a lot to go. Whew. And it reminded me a little bit of course, you know, I've told the story a bunch of times, but it's, of course, it's a very, the common story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the book of Daniel. It's, the Lord does not promise you no pain. He does not promise you a life of comfort and ease. He has made a promise, though. What is his promise? I will never leave you or forsake you. I will never leave you or forsake you. Come hell or high water, I will be with you. I say, I don't know why, Lord, you didn't heal me, but I know one thing is true. I still love you. Sometimes you don't even know if you love them until you've gone through the fire with them. And as is the case with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, it's that story in Scripture where they would not bow before the idol set up of the king in Babylon, and they get thrown into the fire. God doesn't rescue them from the fire. He just says, I'm going to be there with you. And you find out when you're in his presence, you don't need anything else. That's all you need. I remember we went through a grace marriage session a few weeks ago. And it was a session on gratitude. And we're supposed to write down what we're grateful for. And you're supposed to write down what you're grateful for to God, to your spouse, for inside your family life, and just anything else that you're grateful for in this world. And so writing down what I'm grateful for to God, I wrote down all the things that God had done for me that I'm grateful for. Are you okay with that? And I thought I was doing pretty good until my wife read to me what she's grateful for. And she said the only answer that counts. She said the only answer that counts. And she told me, and I almost wanted to weep right there, and I was stunned at the truth. She said one thing written on her paper. I'm thankful for his presence. I'm thankful for his presence. No matter what I've gone through in my life, he's been there. An ever-present help in time of need. He has never once left me or forsaken me. What else do I need? If God is for us, who can be against us? Cling to him. And she said the only, and then, so let me continue the story. I have time, actually. I've been going fast for you. I'll continue. As I'm having heart surgery, Danny and Debbie Dodge are out praying. I'm a 15-year-old, not really walking closely with the Lord, but my faith is getting activated as I stare at my own possible death. There's another woman praying for me from her house. It's Connie Yeager. And Connie Yeager is praying for me in the spirit. I didn't know I was so loved. It's like you roll back into the operating room and you're alone, but somehow you're not. When you have people who love you and are in community and are praying for you, which is why I'm so desperate for you all to get out of your isolation and join us, please. Can you hear my cry? Over and over and over and over and over. Stop hiding. You think you're going to get healed by yourself? Stop it. All right, that was said in love. Connie is praying for me. Connie, you could tell this story better than me, but she wants me to tell it. And I would say, Connie, you said that this was one of the first times you had an experience like this. One of the first times you had an experience like this. And she wrote down on, I've taken a picture of it, that's what I'm going to read from it, what she wrote that the Holy Spirit was telling her about me. Okay? She wrote this and filed it away. And it sat in this little beat up purple folder for 15 years. And then whenever she heard me come to life and preach this summer, the Lord spoke to her again and said, go get the Nate folder. And Connie says, I don't know where it is. It has long been forgotten. It's long been forgotten. 15 years. I had forgotten all about it. You'll have to show me where it is. And so the Lord did. Showed it to her. And this is what she said. This is not what Connie said. This is what the Holy Spirit said that Connie wrote. If you don't believe in modern day prophetic, you probably will after you read this. All right? Humble yourselves. Can you? Maybe. You should. You can. If you don't believe in prophecy, you will after this. I'm taking Family of Faith believers through this season with Phil, Sarah, Nate, Ethan, and Holly. This season is not to take away from the people, but to give strength, power to their faith. You do not instantly learn anything just sitting and hearing the word of God. Our example is Jesus. He daily walked amongst the people and showing himself to them. He was human just like them. I am next to you, Family of Faith, Phil, Nate, Sarah, Ethan, and Holly. I am strong. Listen to this. Nate has a special calling on his life. He's going to see me face to face. I have special words for him. His life will change dramatically in relationship with his family, peers, and Family of Faith. He will lead many to salvation in Jesus Christ. There will be an explosion of increase of both young and old people at Family of Faith. I have just begun. There's no time to lose. Urgency to reach the lost is upon my church. Grow. First, spiritually, men to arise and women to increase after them. What we're witnessing was prophesied 15 years ago. The Lord had already spoke it into existence. He was waiting for me to grow up. Are you guys okay with that? There is a lot he's waiting for you to do too. Can you guys receive that? Grow up. Mature. Grow up. He already has words over your life that he would like to perform. He's not waiting on himself. He's waiting on you. This is the truth. And listen to this. As I am lying on the bed, stripped of all things, and I'm saying, I don't know why he didn't heal me, but I love him. Guess what the Lord is telling to Connie? Nate will be totally fine, but his heart will be 100% mine. That's what it's about. That's what it's about. Will you give yourself to him? He keeps going. That was 2 days before open heart surgery. Dated July 21st, 2008. She dated this one July 23rd, 2008. This didn't come out for 16 years. In July, by the way, when I preached. This is the day of Nate's open heart surgery. I have Nate before me. I am now. Behold what manner of love I have for Nate. Man, you need to know that the Lord loves you. Otherwise, all this is for nothing. You can't love him until you receive his love. He first loves you. This is what you need. Listen to Nate. You need a fresh revelation of his love for you. I don't care how long you've been a believer. You need a new one. Because once you see a glimpse of it, you can never go back. Connie, you're not alone. I am with you. Listen to this. Your angel sees everything. He's witnessing me speaking words to Nate. Who did I see hovering over me? The only memory. Our angel, Debbie, sent to me sent to me to bring life to me in my darkest hour. He says, this is the living realm that goes on daily. Kingdoms are set up and pulled down through him. This is not about the disease. This is about me having Nate's heart. His healing is already taken care of. Nate's fine. It's not about disease. It's about the glory of God. I think some of you need to hear that. It's not about the sickness or the disease or the pain or the loss or the trauma. That's not what it's about. It's about God having your heart. What does he have to do to get to you? He's calling to you. He wants to be yours. He wants to have your heart. This is not about the disease. It's about me having Nate's heart. Are you guys okay with this so far? And we continue on. The same question, we continue on. You know, I go off to college, which is really where my life, so all of this was given to me on yellow legal pad. This isn't the actual one, but after many things have taken place, it's just stowed away, the word of God stowed away for this season of time, of which many of you are witnessing now. And what I tried to say is I continued on, and Jason, you can go ahead and come up, actually, and you can start playing. I continue on. I really give my life to the Lord when I'm going to college for the first time. I call it was my first born-again experience, and I've recently been born again. And I think, I actually strongly believe that a lot of people in here need to get born again. I don't know what else to call it. You need to come alive again. You need to get on fire again. You need to love the Lord again. That's what you need. Stop going through the routine and come back to God again. And that's why I got this mic, because I was going to preach today. As opposed to the handheld. What do you get? You get the evangelist mic? You're going to have some in your hands. But I'm being serious. This is life or death. Oftentimes we hide ourselves from God because we don't know that he actually wants to change who you are, by the way. The things you don't know about you are what's going to kill you. They're robbing you of life. You may be aware of some things that are in you that you wish weren't, and those aren't the deal. That's not the deal to God. It's the root cause. It's like, I remember JC, when God was healing. JC just went through open heart surgery as well at the men's encounter, was healed, took a lot. And he's talked about his testimony of that. But when the Lord's finished with you, you will be a new person. I remember JC was so new that he said before God and before us, am I still going to be funny? He didn't even know who he was anymore. That's how much the Lord worked on it, because he knew that he was only funny to hide what was going on. That's it. There's much in you that's the way you've always been, that's only there to hide the decay of your heart. And he won't heal you until he can pierce through that. That's it. We've been preaching this over and over again. Some of us are humble to avoid conflict. It's all a show. We think our self-consciousness is humility. And it's just hiding. Nobody hurt me. Or we're arrogant and bold. Are you guys following me? He wants to pierce through the dark places sometimes to get there. We don't want to have him go there because he might change who we are. And then you'll wonder, am I still funny? I'm like, trust me. When he's finished with you, you won't regret it. I don't regret open heart surgery. I'm happy to be alive and with a family than dead with a stroke, a brain aneurysm, which could have happened at any moment in time. I was upheld by the grace of God for 15 years and kept alive by him. That's the truth. And Because at any moment I could have died. Should have died. And he had to open me up to heal me. And I think he's going to have to open you up to heal you too. Is that okay? And as it was going forward, I was walking with the Lord. I was walking with him relatively closely for the rest of my life, especially after high school was over. And some of you don't know my testimony of why I'm here preaching. Some of you do. And I don't have time now to go through the whole thing. But what I am saying is I went into business. I became really, you know, successful in that. But I was miserable. The more successful I got, the more miserable I got. The more I achieved what I felt like was my dreams, the worse I felt about who I was. Okay? This is why you have to lay down your ambitions as well, your dreams for the Lord, and let him mold you. You think you know what makes you happy, and you're wrong. You have pursued it all your life, and it has failed you every time. Can you guys be okay to receive that? Only the things that the Lord does are satisfying. You yield to him. And so, essentially, I'm going through life, and I'm getting more and more miserable, more and more miserable, more and more miserable. All the while, my dad has been receiving some words from the Lord about some things that God is putting on his heart in order to be able to do. And I've already told this story a little bit, but you remember, part of the word was that my dad was saying, was for 10 years, what stood before him is, what is Nate going to choose? You guys remember that? The Lord had given him some things that to put on his heart, and he's like, I can't fulfill what I'm supposed to do until Nate makes a choice. What is he going to choose? And I'm saying the same thing is true of you. Your life is not your own when you come to the Lord. Your refusal to let God work on you is not just costing you. It's costing everybody around you. They need you to be healed so that they can receive healing from you. Are you guys okay going there? It's not about you anymore. You mature in the Lord, not for your own glory, but so that you can heal people. Feed people. They're starving. Is this okay? Okay. And so my dad's been trying to sit here, what's Nate going to choose? And it was the Lord who told me this past week that was an image happening now, but what was before my dad was also before the Father in heaven. And for 10 years, the Lord sat watching me, and he's saying to me, once I've given Nate all that he's ever wanted, what will he choose? Once I've satisfied every desire that he's ever thought he needed me to satisfy, once I've blessed him in every way, I've given him 4 healthy boys, a beautiful wife, perfect family, all the money in the world, more than he could ever want, what will he choose? Will he still love me the way he did when he was on that bed 15 years ago, stripped of everything? Will he still love me then? He's loved me in the worst. Will he love me at the top? Will he still love me? It was harder to love him at the top than it was at the bottom. Because it cost me everything, and at the top, you freely give it. At the bottom, I had no choice. And I chose to love him. At the top, though, it was going to cost me everything that I thought I wanted. And he's before him, just like it was before my dad. He's saying, what are you going to choose, Nate? Are you going to choose to help your father? Or are you going to choose to do what you want? Is this okay, anybody? I hope it's okay. And I sat here before the Lord at the very end of all things in my life as I'm staring at a fork in the road of what is Nate going to choose? Is he going to choose to follow me with where I'm leading at the cost of everything, or is he going to choose his own way? And at the end of it, I say, Lord, I choose you. I choose you again and again and again and again. I'll never stop choosing you. You're the only choice. You're the only choice for me. It's the Lord, is it not? Is he not your only choice? I choose you again and again and again and again. I'll never stop loving you, Lord. I'll never stop loving you. At the top of the mountain in the lowest valley, I'm not going to stop loving the Lord. It's the only thing that this world can't take. I would have given more to him just to feel his love for me. Are you guys okay with that? I would have given, anyway, that's the choice. Is that your choice? Can you say it's your choice? Lord, I choose you. Okay. And he showed me the same thing happening with his son. This is the father and his son. As he's walking his son by the hand to the cross. And they are mocking Jesus Christ, the most beautiful man that's ever lived, the most perfect in every way, the most innocent one. And they have beaten him to nothing. They've pulverized him. They've spit on his face. They pulled out his beard. They put a crown of thorns and scorn him, and they bow down before him in mockery. They put a purple robe on him and say, oh, you're the king. Save yourself. And he's stripped of all dignity, naked, hung on a tree. And the father asked him the same question I feel like he asks us sometimes. What's the question? The question is, do you still love him, Jesus? Do you still love him? And Jesus says, yes, I still love him. I will love him again and again and again and again and again and again. I'll never stop loving him. I'll never stop loving him. I choose them. You're like, Jesus, even the ones who mocked you and he's hanging up, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. You can't even really understand his love for you until you realize that he would have gone up there and done that if you were the only one to be saved. You were the only one. You're the one spitting him, mocking him, putting the crown of thorns on him, whipping his back, putting the nails into his hands, hanging him on the tree, scorning him. You know what he would have said to you? I still love you. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. You have to receive that before you can return it. Are we doing okay today? I feel like today, some people need to decide to choose. Everybody in here, I don't care. I think it's time that you make a declaration. What is today? This is March 16th. And you say, today is when I choose to love him. I choose to love the Lord right now. If that's you, I'd like you to stand. If you say, today I choose the Lord. I don't care if you've already been a Christian or not. Stand up. And you make a declaration today.
This is my desire.
And if you love the Lord,
to
and you decide today, Lord, I love you. Just lift your hands. You give him your heart in humility.
Lord, with all.
It's our pride that keeps us from God.
I worship you.
He says, you either offer me humility or I will have to humble you. Either way, choose humility and just love him for who he is.
Within me,
give him praise.
I give you,
Lord, you're our only choice. You can strip us away of everything else in this world, but do not remove me from your presence.
Is in you.
Lord, there's one thing I've desired, that's to dwell in your tent.
Lord, I give you my heart.
Lord, I love you.
I give you my soul.
sorry for all the moments that I turned from you.
Live for you alone.
I'm sorry for living for myself.
Every breath that I take, every moment
I'm sorry for letting my fears dominate my life. I'm sorry for being self-conscious all the time. I'm sorry for hiding from you.
Lord, I give you my heart.
I don't want to hide. I want to love you, Lord.
I give you my soul.
So strip me down, Lord. Strip me down of all the things I use to hide. And heal me, Lord. Heal me from the depths of my soul. Heal me of the things I'm not even aware of. Minister to me.
Lord, have
we need you.
Dark places in my heart.
Lord, we need you.
This is my desire to honor you. Lord, with all my heart, I worship you.
Hearts clean, O God. Purge them with hyssop. Create in us a clean heart. One that loves to love you. One that desires to love the Lord above all things. Lord, it's in your presence that we feel the most safe. Who cares what's going on around us? If we're with you, we are safe. Lord, clean us, O Lord. We open up ourselves to you, O God. Do a work in us. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise Him. Let this be the day that you remember is the day you chose to love the Lord. You may have a day that you believed in Him. That's good. The demons believe, though. You know what the demons don't do? They don't love him. They don't love him. Don't rest on the fact that I believe in God. You go from there to love. Love him. Worship him. Give him who you are. Let him clean you. Sometimes it won't. Sometimes for me it'll look like the most expensive thing to give. But he will prove himself worthy over and over and over and over. He'll never stop proving himself to you. Nothing you do will cause you to escape his love. Just stop resisting. Amen? Amen.